You are your number one resource. This is a direct quote from today's guest, Michelle Anjanent. Michelle is a Paper Camp alum, labs member, and the fierce founder behind 417 Press, an award-winning letterpress greeting card company and paper goods brand based in Montreal, Canada. Always observing life with a dash of humor, Michelle's product line is a direct reflection of the personal challenges she's faced, from infertility to ADHD, midlife, divorce, and now midlife dating. Now in her 50s and a happily single mom to teen twins, Michelle is proof that everything is divinely timed for a reason and that it is never too late to pursue your passion. Today, Michelle and I are talking about navigating divorce as a business owner, overcoming and continually working on our mindset, and what to say when someone asks you proprietary questions about your business. Today's episode is brought to you by our Proof to Product Resource Library. This is where we house all of our free workshops, downloads, and all of that in one place. This includes my Delegating Masterclass, the How to Know if Wholesale is Right for You audio series, the Booth Blueprint class, and more. And I've got a few new things that we'll be adding soon. To get instant access to this rich resource library, head to prooftoproduct.com/resources. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. I'm on a mission to empower product-based business owners to confidently grow their revenue in their own way and at their own pace. Here at Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies, find inspiration, and action steps to help you start, streamline, and scale your product-based business. So grab your favorite notebook to take notes and let's get started. Hey, Michelle, welcome to Proof to Product.
Hi, Katie.
I'm happy to have you here today. Let's kick this off by talking about how you got started with your business, 417 Press. What was the origin story there?
So a very typical story, actually, I believe, but I got married, did my own wedding invitations. People started making requests. And next thing I know, I was designing and letterpress printing wedding invitations, which was great and wonderful and all those things. But there was a need to create something more for myself. Always been a huge stationery lover fan since I was a little kid. And it was only later that I discovered that somebody like me could create and sell and wholesale greeting cards. And once I learned that, it was like, this is what I want to do 100%.
Had you had letterpress printing experience prior to starting this business, or was that something you learned and then developed into the business?
So early on, like in Montreal area anyway, letterpress printers were very hard to find. I did find one, but the machines are very dangerous. So he was running the press, but I was always observing and learning and being his assistant. And then I had the opportunity to acquire a press, which I did, and had an experienced letterpress printer show me the ropes. And true story, the owner of the press actually gave me my check back and said, "I'm sorry, I can't sell you this press." I said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, you know, you're going to get hurt. It's very dangerous." And I actually had to convince him that I could do it. And he finally allowed it. And I bought the press. And even though I knew, you know, a bit of the ins and outs of running, it was a Platen press, a CNP. It does take a lot of experience, and it took a good year of trial and error before I could really be confident as a letterpress printer.
Okay. So did that whole experience of learning how to print and buying the press and convincing this man to sell it to you, were you already creating and selling products at that point and using other printers, or were you really picking this up as more of a hobby that then turned into a business?
I was doing wedding invitations, personal stationery, those sorts of things, but I wanted to purchase the press. So I knew it wasn't feasible to be wholesaling product at a set price, which is one of the great things about our industry is like, you kind of know what the top and bottom pricing is, but yeah, to make it fit, I knew that I had to be doing my own printing. So I wasn't quite yet printing for wholesale.
Got it. Okay. So give us the layout of your business now. You sell to both direct to consumer and to wholesale. Do you also still do the custom wedding invitation stuff?
I don't. And it was for a while that was still feeding me. And if you will, that's where the money was coming from while I was building the stationery brand. And I had some larger corporate clients. And it wasn't actually until very recently, a couple of years ago, that I let go of all custom work. And I was really able to transition and focus completely to 417 Press.
Yeah. So it's interesting to me because when a lot of folks get into the product space, they do exactly what you did, right? And I did too. So I'm speaking from my own experiences here as well. We diversify so much before we're really truly ready. So in my case, I was doing custom work. I was doing direct to consumer. I was doing wholesale. I was doing some licensing. But if I look back and I'm honest with myself, I wasn't doing any of those things very well. Because I was learning how to do them as I was doing them. And then I narrowed my focus to just really more wholesale and a little bit of D2C on the side. I cut my custom work like you said you did, but that was feeding things at the time. So it was hard to cut that. And I narrowed my focus and that's when things really blossomed. But then you get to this later phase of business, which you are at again, approaching if you're not there already, where we start to think about diversifying again. So it kind of is this ebb and flow of like things are kind of wide at the beginning, then they narrow down and then they get a little more wide again. So I'm curious, have you expanded or have you stayed contracted pretty narrowed focused with your product revenue streams?
So interesting question because I'm actually looking into the expansion now, like just now. Like I feel like I'm comfortable in the space where I am now, having been really truly focused for a good 3 years, I want to say. And now I'm broadening my horizons. I don't know yet what it looks like.
Yeah, fair enough.
I know it's there. It's I have the ideas, but not sure. Do I need to collaborate? Is it something I'm kind of doing on my own? And I don't know what it looks like. And it's a scary process, to be honest. But I'm excited about it, and I have no idea where it's going to go. But it's there.
No, I love this. And I think it's important to note too, that when we narrow, that's where we're tightening up our systems, our processes, you know, that's where we're really enhancing the revenue that's coming in from each of those. And when we get those systems running, like you've done, that's where we do have the luxury and the space a little more to experiment and play with other revenue streams. So I just thought it was an interesting observation and something that I've been thinking about a lot as I'm looking at our community members and the ebbs of flow in business. So thank you for sharing your experience there. I know one of the things that you get asked a lot about when you're exhibiting at trade shows and, you know, around other people in a maker community setting is like, where do you print your products and obviously you print your own, but like, where do you source your materials and your supplies? And you get a lot of folks, it seems, asking you about proprietary information about how you run your business. Is that true?
It is, you know, and it also depends on who is asking. Depending if it's really a newbie, I think the message is, you have to do the work. Like that's part of the process of doing the research and the groundwork. And there's no easy outs. You have to do the work. But as you grow and you gain certain resources, like partnerships, let's say, I sort of feel like that is proprietary information in the sense that I did the work, I did the hustle, I walked the walk. So sometimes I am hesitant to share certain information. I will perhaps go to the person I'm partnering with and say, do you feel comfortable with me sharing this information? But I think either through lack of experience or I don't know, just maybe boldness, but some people don't understand that some questions are not appropriate. So it's something to consider when, you know, I mean, it's exciting to meet another maker and to talk shop, but be mindful also of what you are asking, because it's hard to say gently, nicely, no, like that's not a question to ask another maker.
I agree with you. I mean, obviously I run a community where we pride ourselves on sharing what we know and sharing our experiences, but I will say there's a difference. There's a couple of differences. There's a difference between sharing your own personal experiences or even vendor recommendations for suppliers that our whole entire community works with versus mm-hmm. sharing the name of the buyer that works at a key account that you spent 3 years cultivating that relationship. And now, you know, you're still trying to maintain that consistent reorders and things like those are two different things to share. Right. And I'm very much mm-hmm. an advocate of let's share the things that can lift us all up, but also we do need to protect the things that we've worked so hard to earn. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the names of our distributors or the contacts or whatever it might be. I do think it's reasonable and appropriate for you to say, I'm sorry, that's not something I can share with you, but you're right. We want to do it with kindness. And also I do think there are a lot of people, maybe they're just not aware that it's an inappropriate question, or maybe they just don't care and want the answer and are hoping you'll answer it. But either way, yeah. I think this is something that's becoming more prevalent too, of especially at in-person settings like trade shows. I think that's where you'll see people walk a trade show and then talk to each of the vendors and kind of ask them questions that maybe they shouldn't be asking yeah. in that kind of space.
It's not a free-for-all. And in all fairness, like, if I feel that there are two people that are would be a perfect fit for each other, I will offer up that information.
Totally.
Easily. No problem. Like, I think you two would be great together. Here's that contact information. Reach out. But if you missed an opportunity to talk to a buyer, it's a little, you know, to come and ask me, oh, hey, like, I saw that they talked to you. Can I get that information? You have to be mindful of what you're asking if you're just starting out or if you're not familiar with the protocols, if you will.
I also think too, there's a difference between asking a complete stranger to share their secrets and asking people you have a relationship. Obviously, you know, your inner circle of friends, you're going to share a lot of different things. And then in your wider community of makers, I know you've been very active in our proof to product community. You're a member of GCA, like in those kind of settings too, where everyone is contributing and benefiting from the shared knowledge, it's easier to share. But when it's just a stranger that emails you or walks up to you at a show and asks for that information, that's where I think it's even a little more off-putting than a shared space where everybody's providing their own experiences and knowledge for the benefit of the good mm-hmm. too. Do you agree with that?
And 100%. Ask me, how do you get from Canada to the US for a trade show? What do you need to go over the border? For sure. 100%. Ask me. I'm more than willing to share that information. I do get those questions. It's great. Or as you see, like in the forum, questions such as how do I prepare customs documents to ship to Barnes & Noble or PaperSource? 100%. But just think first before you ask.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Is this information that's hard won? Is this information that could be sensitive? That's all.
Yeah. No, I agree. Okay. I know another topic you wanted to discuss, and we've kind of talked before this interview of how we want to frame this, but you recently went through a divorce and you wanted to talk about your experience with this as a business owner. And so first, can you just lead with why was this an important topic for you to broach and why did you want to share your experience with our listeners?
I think what we don't realize is that our business is an asset. What does that mean? It means it is income for us. And in the process of a divorce, and of course, I'm in Canada, our legal system is different and it varies from province to province and also in the US from state to state. But if you find yourself in this situation, first of all, get help. Don't be afraid to communicate with a lawyer, even if it's only to get advice. But your business, especially if you are the sole proprietor, or in my case, I was incorporated, but I'm the sole owner, your business is an asset and it is divisible, meaning you owe your former spouse half of that business. So you need to be prepared for that. So there are things to think about, like what I found out later, like for example, as an corporation, I was the only signing officer. Someone told me later, perhaps what you might want to do is make your spouse also a partner. Meets only 1%, for example. And therefore, I don't want to say doomsday or whatever, but this is our business. So you need to protect your business. So you need to be advised of any possibilities, like your episode on insurance, not a pretty topic. These are things that we need to consider. So perhaps your spouse has a 1% option in your corporation or your business. And that will help you, because especially if you're a woman, you need to be self-supporting post-divorce. So there are many things to consider. If you have children, you know, how are you going to raise those children? So a lot of women instinctively care about the kids, don't care so much about the money, but we need that money to support ourselves and to support our children. And sometimes it ends up being a battle, not a pretty battle for sure. So if you see your company is growing and expanding, inform yourself of all these things, like all the stuff we don't necessarily want to look at, but were worth a look. And if you find yourself in the middle of a messy divorce, like, reach out for help. There are options, and your accountant will become your best friend. You don't need to hire necessarily a full-on lawyer with a retainer and so on, unless you're going to court, but they can offer really great business advice as well. So thank goodness I had those two people on my team supporting me through it. And yes, I did have to sell half my business to my ex, and that's all fair and so on, but we came from polar opposites on the scale. And so to meet to the middle actually took many, many, many months. And it's not fun.
How would one, I mean, when you're going through a divorce, you're also obviously, there's a lot happening, you know, emotionally, with your family, with your children, there's concern and worries. And I do think the business would probably be one of the last things I would be thinking about in terms of preparing for the divorce or how to protect that asset. Or I guess my question is, what did you learn in this process, and what would you have done differently with the information you know now? Like, would you have set up, it sounds like you would have set your business up maybe a little differently, giving him 1 or 2% of ownership. And is that because that's what you would have had to pay him out otherwise if it wasn't a 50-50 type thing?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. What would I have done differently? I think what the hardest part for me was is that I never felt supported in my business by him. You know, like, I know there are other friends of ours that have also heard this term, but it's a hobby. The feeling that perhaps I wasn't contributing as much as I could or should be. But through all this, the honest truth was I was faced with, okay, what do I do now? I've got two kids, twins, about to enter high school. I have to move out of my house. I have to move out of my home office. And I have this business. It was COVID. What am I going to do? Do I get a job at 50 years old? Or do I make this thing blow up? And so that's when I decided, let's make this thing blow up. I knew that's where all the possibility and potential was. And as we talked about earlier, that's where the really fine-tuning focus came in. And it was facing my fear that I couldn't do it. I think for me, it was fear of money more than anything. Having a spouse alleviated some of those fears, because I sort of knew, like, if something were to go wrong, kind of sort of had my back. If you know what I mean, like, mm-hmm. I'm starting out a business and I have a home office, so I don't have to worry about paying rent. Or it never happened to me, but let's say, for example, a client didn't pay me, you know, it wasn't going to be the end of the day because I still had a roof over my head. We still had food on the table. But what do you do when you're all alone? So I just had to face that fear. Like, and the fear went way back to the beginning, like fear I didn't have money to take the proof to product course, fear I didn't have enough money to do a trade show, fear of moving out of my home office, fear of paying rent for a studio, fear that then I had to move again. and I had to move. Now I had three presses and I had to buy a cutter and I was going to be paying double the rent. So facing that fear was really, really key for me. So that's where the divorce, like, despite all the negativity of it, it ended up being a blessing in disguise, because I wouldn't be where I am now and I wouldn't have been forced to face that fear. And it's funny because it all stopped, and this is an absolutely 100% true story, but in August of 2021, the space where I had my studio, the building was sold. So my first instinct was, well, I have to stay here as long as possible. I tried to negotiate extending my lease with the new owner. And when that was becoming clear, it was perhaps not going to work. Then I thought about sharing a location with another of the tenants in the building. But then I thought, well, I'm doing the same thing I did in my marriage, where I'm somewhat depending on someone else because I had fear of money. And I knew instinctively that wasn't the way to go. And so finally, forced to find a place. I did find a place, seemed reasonable, but still double the rent. And I was in, I was out. I was like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to do it. A lot of panic. And then finally I called them and I said, okay, let's do this. I have no choice. Let's do this. And I kid you not, Katie, that week the phone rang and it was Barnes & Noble. And they said, we're picking up two of your cards right now and we're looking at others. And by the end of that year, so last year, 2023, I doubled my sales. And by January, sorry, the end of 2022, by the end of January, 2023, I'm already at the halfway mark of my 2023 sales. So all that to say is that when you let go of the one thing that is holding you back, everything happens.
I have goosebumps from hearing that story. I love it. I love it. I think I'd love to know more about the fears you talked about were so real. As I was listening to you, I kept thinking, yeah, those would be things that worried me too. What did you do to overcome those fears or some of this money anxiety? Was it therapy? Was it working with like a coach or something? Or was it just mindful practices that you, like, what did you do to kind of overcome those things?
I didn't overcome them very well for the longest time. I was probably in denial for the longest time. And that's why my company has only really, really, truly blossomed in the last few years. What I'm doing now, the easiest way to start is I practice gratitude every single day. So before I even roll out of bed, I have a pen and paper beside me and I just write down the three things I'm grateful for. And every time an order comes in, a PO comes in, I'm grateful. Thank you. Yeah. And whereas before I might've said, "Oof, where am I going to find 5,000 envelopes in yellow? You know, am I not going to be able to find them and panic? Like, am I going to be able to afford to pay somebody to help me sleeve this order? How am I going to get it out?" Where now I'm just like, thank you. And it will come. So it's the tiniest shift, but it has a huge impact. So it's definitely where I started seeing difference when I realized that second I realized when Barnes & Noble called, that if you just let it go, and it's hard, like I spent 7 years trying to let it go, thinking I was letting it go because things were progressing, but I hadn't really. So is there an easy answer? No, it's okay to ask for help, for sure. Guidance wherever you need it, get that reassurance. But at the end of the day, the reassurance has to come from within you. Mm-hmm. You have to do the work on yourself. Yes. So what is your fear? And if there's more than one, what's the biggest one? And tackle it, even though you don't want to.
Yeah.
And just face it, write about it, journal.
I love those tactics. As I'm listening to you, I keep thinking too, you know, we're all human, we're all works in progress. And I'm sure that this was a process to get to the place that you're at now. And I'm sure that there's still a road ahead of you with either new fears or concerns or just still tackling some of the same things that have kind of been in the back of your ear. But it sounds like these different tactics and mechanisms and, you know, ways of shifting your mindset have really not only benefited you as a human being, but also your business. And I assume too, then by extension, your family life with your kids and everything else. Is that true?
100%. 100%. Like, I didn't coin this phrase, but it's so true. Where the thoughts go, the energy flows. So where are you putting your energy? It's simple. Before, and you said it yourself, like, we were putting our energy into kids, obviously priority, but the kids, the activities, the freelance work, the licensing, the, you know, so mm-hmm. if you're spreading your energy so thin, what do you think your results are going to be? Honestly.
Yeah.
So focus your energy, like, take a hard look, like the things we never want to do, again, fear, right? So take a look, write about, journal it, talk about it, talk to yourself. Like, gratitude for me is huge. I go around every day, like, I'm so grateful. Like, and the little things don't bother me anymore like they used to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, there's so many resources out there, like yourself, the people within this community, but there's lots of podcasts and books and things. So do the work. Like, so maybe you're reading business books, but also read books yeah. on how to heal yourself. Like, what is it within you that needs healing? Like, you are your number one resource, only you, mm-hmm. not your spouse, not anybody else. You can only depend on yourself. And you have people that come and go and flow in and help you out, but you have to, especially as a woman.
Yes.
100% be able to count on you.
Yes. I'm over here jotting down notes because I 100% agree with you. I wrote down, you are your number one resource. And I think there's a lot of us that know that intellectually, but I think that, and we know this from just a human perspective, but also a business perspective of like, we're our number one asset in the business. And I am like, I have one life to live and all this. But I think where we get tripped up, especially as women, is the implementation of it, the prioritization of it. And some of us are better than others about self-care and carving out time for doing that work, that important work that you talked about as a human. And so I think it's fascinating to hear you talk about this and how, you know, you went through this unfortunate situation. Getting a divorce, having to navigate this as a business owner too, and the financial aspects of that and all of these concerns and worries, but also you've come out the other side with a stronger mindset and a stronger focus, it sounds, in terms, and maybe clarity is a better word for it. You tell me, but I feel like it sounds like you know more who you are and also what you want your business to be in tandem with that. Is that correct?
100%. It's so funny because I think at New York Now this year, somebody asked me, well, how are you doing it? Or what are you doing it? Or how did you get there? Or there was the implications. Actually, it was several makers that are younger, let's say, newer in the industry. And they're like, how do we get what you have? We want what you have.
Yeah.
And the answer is, it's a journey. It's yep. a journey. It's going to be 8 years I'm in this business. It wasn't an overnight success. I'm not even like, if you compare me to somebody else, no, I'm not there, but I don't do the comparisons, but just to say, like, there's what it looks like I have, but there's also what it took to get here. And it's just allow the ebb and the flow, allow the journey to happen. And be present in your own journey and don't worry what anybody else is doing. I'm 53 years old now. I'm not 30.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's, Do I wish? I used to regret. I used to think, ugh, why didn't I do this sooner? Or I'm too old now. And I was comparing myself to my peers. And I mean, like those that launched at the same time as me, and like, you know, look at how they're exploding and they're so young and they have this and they don't have to worry about kids yet. And so on. Don't worry about any of that. Don't have regrets. It's meant to happen when it's supposed to happen. So yes, I am this age. And I was told, what are you going to do at 50? Well, you know what? This is what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what I'm doing. And
doing it well, I might add.
Thank you.
Yes.
But yes, it's a journey. Like, so just enjoy the journey, you know?
Yeah.
Just
enjoy the journey. For sure. I think we all fall victim at different points in our life and our career of like, I want success now. I want success yesterday. Also, our definition of success shifts, as you know, we have different energy about us when we're younger and we have different priorities. And I think it's important to constantly be checking in with ourselves about what that looks like. What does success mean for me now? And it's okay if that changes, because that's totally normal. And our priorities are going to shift with that. So,
and life doesn't end at 50.
No, it doesn't. Sure. Not at
I'll
all.
I'll never be in the 40 under 40. That's for certain, but it doesn't matter. And I told Sarah, I said, you need to change that. Like, you need to have an award for the 50 plus.
Yes, yes, yes. I will say I squeaked in my like 39th year, but it was like one of these things where I had to chuckle. I'm like, I think this is actually going to publish when I am 40. What is that? I don't know. But anyhow, it doesn't matter. No, I mean, so many people go on to do incredible things in their lives and careers and much later in life. And I've seen some articles online. I don't have them in front of me right now, but you know, just people that have just changed the world based on things that they've done later in life, you know, based on their lived experiences and things that they prioritize. So anyhow, Michelle, I really appreciate you taking the time and to share so vulnerably with us today. What is coming up for 417 Press? What do you have that you want to share with our audience?
So I'm looking at the summer trade shows. I haven't confirmed Atlanta yet, but I'm definitely going to be in New York. And awesome. I mentioned that I am working on something big in the works. I don't think it's going to be this year. So for now, I'm just going to keep going and growing. And I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but I'm excited about it. And I think it's going to be awesome.
Fantastic. I was talking with a client, I guess it was on Wednesday, the days are blurring together. And she was like, somebody asked me what my 5-year plan was. And I had no idea. I said, girl, me neither. Like, who's going to I can't plan that far out. I mean, I'm a planner, you know, Michelle, I'm a planner, but like, we don't know. We could set a plan in place and it may change altogether. Like you've said this entire episode, life is a journey and we can plan as much as we can plan, but ultimately things are going to happen the way they're going to happen. And it's how we respond to them.
Well, I remember like even when in the early days doing the course with you, and I think one of the questions was, what's your dream client? And like mine was a joke. I didn't even know paper source existed, but just to say, what do you do when you reach all your goals? Right. Yeah. So the world is your oyster. Anything is possible.
Anything is possible. All right. Well, tell folks where they can find you online, to follow you on social or check out your shop online.
So anywhere on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook at 417 Press. And it's the numbers 417. My website is www.417press.com.
Awesome. Michelle, thank you again for your time today. This was enlightening and I just enjoyed catching up with you. So thank you so much.
Katie, thank you so much. I am honored and it's such a pleasure and I'm very grateful. Thank you so much.
Talk to you soon. All right, friend. I hope you enjoyed today's episode with Michelle from 417 Press. I appreciated her sharing so vulnerably and openly with us today. Be sure to check the show notes for all of her links so you can follow her online. She has been doing a lot of great videos on both TikTok and Reels. They are fun and authentic, so go give her some love over there. Also, if you are looking for support as you grow the wholesale side of your business, be sure to check out our Is Wholesale Right For You audio series. I will be honest with you, wholesale is not for everyone. one. But after listening to this audio series, I know two things will be true. You will know whether you want to pursue wholesale for your product business, and two, you will have confidence and action steps to get started. You can access this free audio series at prooftoproduct.com/privatepod. That's prooftoproduct.com/privatepod. That's all I have for you today. I'll be back next week with a new episode.